The late 1950s, a childhood disturbed. I was born in the southwest of Rwanda, in Gikongoro province, at the edge of Nyungwe Forest, a large high-altitude rainforest, supposedly home, but has anyone ever seen them? To the last African forest elephants. My parents' enclosure was in Sianika, by the river Rukarara. Of my birthplace, I have no memory, but the homesick stories my mother told all through our exile in Nyamata. She missed the wheat she could grow at that altitude, and the gruel she could make with it. She told us of her battles with the aggressive monkeys that ravaged the fields she farmed with her mattock. Sometimes, when I was young, she would say, I joined the little shepherds tending the cows at the edge of the forest. Often, the monkeys attacked us. They walked on 2 feet just like men. They wouldn't put up with my little friend's insolence. They attacked them. They wanted to show them the monkeys are stronger than men. My father was not an aristocrat with vast herds of cows, as some people think of the Tutsis. Still, he knew how to read and write, and he'd learned Kiswahili, the language used by the colonial administration, so he worked as an accountant and secretary to sub-chief Ruvubana. But he was a real jack of all trades. He managed his boss's assets, and when it was necessary, he went to prison in his boss's place. He was serving a sentence for him when my oldest sister Alexia was born. That earned her the slightly odd name of Nabiarangode. Nothing is ever completely white, which to my father meant that the joy of his daughter's birth had been somewhat spoiled by his incarceration. Sometimes, too, my father Cosma went hunting for gold in the torrents of the mountains on the Congolese border. He came home with a few little chips in matchboxes. We never got rich off those tiny flakes. In 1958, sub-chief Ruvubana was appointed to Butare province, and my family followed him. The sub-chiefdom was located in the far south of the province, on the crest overlooking the valley of Kanyaru, whose course forms the border with Burundi. From our new house in Magi, on the steep foothills of Mount Makwaza, we had a sweeping view. The valley of the Kanyaru and its papyrus swamps and beyond much of the Ngozi province in Burundi. Mount Makwaza was the homeland of a great Hutu chief, an Igihenza. We were terribly afraid of him. My mother described him as a giant, always dressed in a leopard skin. When threatening clouds shrouded the mountaintop, she would tell us, someone must have angered the Igihenza. Be good now. In our childish terror, we believed the Igihenza's enormous shadow was darkening the whole mountainside. No one dared venture out to the foot of Mount Makwaza after dark, for fear of disturbing the Igihenza's nighttime doings. Up at the very top of the mountain, we thought we could see the glow of his fire. My big sister Alexia and my older brothers Antoine and Andre went to school. My mother worked in the fields. We rarely saw my father at home. He had an office which still exists, facing the sub-chief's residence, but he didn't spend much time there, because he was always out on his bicycle, seeing to matters that I found deeply mysterious. My father had the only bicycle in the area, which gave him considerable prestige, reinforced by the pen sticking out of his shirt pocket, an uncontested sign of his authority. The moment they spotted him pedaling along the narrow mountain path, the village children would cry out, "It's Cosma! It's Cosma!" and parade along beside him all the way to the house. Hearing those shouts, my mother would begin reheating the pot of beans and bananas. She always kept ready for my father's unexpected returns. I can still picture that pot, reserved for my father's meals alone. It was tall, completely black but shiny inside, made of very thick cast iron. It was the only metal kitchenware we owned. It had a name, Issa Furia. Ndende, the big cookpot. My father told of buying it from a street merchant